a wild bull, a Barbary sheep, an S motif on the upper arm. Archaeologists are now pushing back the date of figurative tattoos, thanks to the help of well-preserved mummies. A second look at the pair of 5,000-year-old Egyptian mummies has archaeologists reworking how far tattoos really do go back. We're talking about it this hour. The new evidence was published last week in the Journal of Archaeological Science. Renee Friedman is one of the lead authors on that paper. She is an Egyptologist and a professor at Oxford University. She directs an archaeological expedition in the Aswan region of Egypt, and that's where we're finding her today. Renee, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So these two mummies at the museum, they have had a very long history there. How did you discover the tattoos?
Well, I had been working on tattoos, ancient tattoos, that date about 1,000 years later than them, and to do that, I had gotten myself an infrared camera. A pre-converted infrared camera, the sort of things that are used by people who do nature photography. And that was helping me to see tattoos from a later period, and I thought, maybe I should give these a try on these very well-preserved mummies in the British Museum. So I didn't know what to expect, but it was a real surprise when it came up so clearly that these were tattoos.
Okay, so you're waving this infrared camera on these mummies, is that right?
That's correct.
And
you look through the viewfinder.
And you come across these markings. What did you come across?
Well, first I looked at the female mummy because she was more easily accessible in the storerooms of the British Museum. And the first thing I saw were little S's on her shoulder. And I thought, is this some sort of museum inventory number? I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. But then under natural lighting, you can just see them as vaguely green little squiggles. But they really pop out under infrared. And then looking further down, we saw this other, what we believe to be is a staff or some sort of symbol of power on her right arm.
What about the male mummy?
Male mummy. Well, that one I thought, and we always expected that it would be women that were going to be tattooed. That's sort of been in the literature, that it was only women that were tattooed. And I thought, there's this marking on his arm. It looked really suspicious to me. And that mummy is on display in the galleries of the British Museum. And I pointed my camera at it, and that was another really wow moment. I saw the two figures.
Not just on one mummy, but on two mummies. So do you think that tattoos were more common than archaeologists might realize?
I think so, because we at the British Museum, we have 7 well-preserved mummies. I looked at all of them, but 2 out of 7 isn't bad. You've got to think that 20% of the population might be carrying tattoos or even more. And, of course, finding tattoos is depending on the skin surviving.
Right, and so these are very well-preserved mummies that are in their holdings. So do we have any inclination what these symbols might mean?
Well, we think the symbols on the guy, these are animals that were known to be symbols of power at that time. They express their power through nature. So the wild bull was a really, was a tough customer. So you wanted to be as strong as a bull. We're not exactly sure what a Barbary sheep was meant to be. But even today, like in Tunisia, this is the mascot for the Foreign Legion. So, I guess they have symbolic meaning even till today. Or they might even be his hunting trophies. If he went out and caught or killed a bull or and he had it inscribed on his arm. We really don't know exactly. But they were certainly meant to be seen. They're right there on his right arm in full public view. And this is extending our ideas about the whole visual culture at this time. Because these are not images that we see on usual. We know this period mainly from paintings on pottery. and we don't see images of bulls and Barbary sheep on pottery very often. So it's kind of interesting to see that what they're taking to the grave with them is not actually the most important visual items that they might be seeing in life.
How might they have put these tattoos on their skin?
Well, we think they might have been using pointed bone that's carefully been sharpened, and then they're using a mixture of resin and soot, so a carbon base, which is why the infrared camera picks it up so clearly. But we haven't yet to do the full super-duper scientific analysis because they're still on the bodies, and it's very hard to get them under the microscope.
Sure. Renee Friedman is with us. She's one of the lead authors on a paper that was published last week in the Journal of Archaeological Science looking at 5,000-year-old Egyptian mummies at the British Museum that have tattoos on them and understanding why this is, what it could mean. Renee Friedman is an Egyptologist and a professor at Oxford University. She is on an archaeological expedition in the Aswan region of Egypt. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about prehistoric and ancient tattoos? Why do you think human tattooed themselves and practice other body modifications like piercing and other things? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Renee, tell us what else we know that was going on at this time that these mummies were around, and now we have these tattoos, because this is before hieroglyphics. This is a very long time ago.
Yes, this is before writing, just before writing started to appear in Egypt. And it was a time of a changing society. There might have been a lot of rivalry between different areas leading up to the unification of Egypt and the beginning of dynastic Egyptian history as we know it. The empire is Egypt. So it's a time when people, I think, are experimenting with their identities and displaying that. The elite, the really powerful people, are thinking of new ways of sort of branding themselves. And that may be part of what these tattoos are also part of, a way of promoting your identity and telling people who you were and, you know, what families you belong to and just how powerful you might be.
Why do you think...
But we don't think they're therapeutic.
Do you think women were not supposed to have tattoos, or you didn't think that they had been found on women before? What does that lead you to think?
For the women, we think that it might be a way of showing that she knows the proper spells. She's got the knowledge of the cult. She knows how to, to be a medicine woman, how to make you better, how to channel the goddess and get the powers of protection to you or even to herself.
What?
So that's a bit protective.
What is your next step in studying this now that you have made this clear identification?
Well, I've been taking my little camera to other museums and looking at their well-preserved mummies, and we now have evidence for tattoos at the time of the pyramids, at the time of the Middle Kingdom, and also the New Kingdom. So we can see that this tradition of tattooing in Egypt with figural designs started at 3000 BC and continued, well, for another 2000 years at least.
Did the designs evolve? Did they get larger? Did they change places on the body?
The designs evolved. They became much more symbols that we're used to seeing, the wedge-eyed eye, the Ankh symbol, all the kind of symbols we associate with ancient Egypt. And those seem to be protective, as well as, again, showing, particularly on the women, that they had knowledge of, the proper moves, the proper spells. They had cult knowledge. So far we've got, in all of Egypt, we've got maybe 10 tattooed bodies. So it's a little early to start making definitive statements.
Well, Renee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Renee Friedman is an Egyptologist and a professor at Oxford University. She discovered the oldest known figurative tattoos in the world and the oldest tattooed female in the world. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Why do you think humans tattoo themselves and practice other body modification? What questions do you have about prehistoric and ancient tattoos? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. The discovery of artistic tattoos on two Egyptian mummies dating back 5,000 years is helping to rewrite history on when body art became a thing for humans. To put old into perspective, these tattoos predate Egyptian hieroglyphs. The findings were just published in the Journal of Archaeological Science, and we're talking about the research on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Aaron Dieterwolf is a prehistoric archaeologist at the Tennessee Division of Archaeology. He was the lead author of the paper that confirmed the European ice mummy known as Ötzi has the world's oldest tattoos. He's also co-editor of Ancient Ink, The Archaeology of Tattooing. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kate. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So these tattoos that we were just talking about are old, but not the world's oldest known tattoos. So tell us about the oldest of the old.
Well, they're close, right? You know, radiocarbon dating is not a perfectly exact science. And so depending on how you parse the dates that Renee got from Egypt with the dates for Ötzi, the European mummy, you could make an argument that they are contemporaneous. At best, I think Ötzi's probably a century or so older. So, you know, in terms of preserved tattoos, this is really close. I think we can say that they are pretty much alive at the same time.
Give us some introduction to Ötzi. Where did he live? Who was he?
Sure. So Ötzi was a man who lived in the Alps about 5,300 years ago. We know who he is because about 5,300 years ago, he was shot in the back with an arrow and left to die in a melting glacier. And that glacier is situated on the boundary between Austria and Italy. And back in 1991, some hikers walking a trail in that area saw his body coming out of this glacier. It was starting to melt, and they saw it. They reported it to authorities, who first thought it was a forensic concern. And then it was subsequently determined that he was, in fact, from the Copper Age, that he dates to about 3200 BCE.
That's so cool. So exciting for archaeologists like yourself. So why did he have so many tattoos?
Well, this is a really good question, right? We know an incredible amount about Ötzi and about the world he lived in thanks to his body. I mean, he has been more studied than any other set of archaeological human remains. You know, we know what his last meal was. We know details about his health and the things that he suffered from. We know about the tools and the clothes that he was wearing. We know what blood type he has. We know his entire mitochondrial DNA lineage. We know that he had 61 tattoos all across his body. But there's still some discussion as to what exactly these tattoos were. So people have noted along the way that a number of his tattoos seem to correspond to locations on his body where he suffered from ailments. They're located on joints where he suffered from arthritis. And some of them are also located on points on the body that are close to places where he suffered, for example, whipworms inside his colon. Other people have also noticed that some of the locations of Ötzi's tattoos seem to correspond to Chinese acupuncture meridians. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that Ötzi was from China or had ever visited China. It just means that, you know, possibly acupuncture is a very old practice. Now, this is, as I said, sort of the subject of ongoing debate, because some of his tattoos line up with these locations on his body, but some of them don't. And so we broadly understand that one function of his tattoos may have been medicinal or therapeutic, that they could have been applied as a form of acupuncture or as a form of treatment for these ailments he was suffering. On the other hand, other marks are open for debate as to what they are and what they mean.
So it gets a really blurry between what he might have been putting on for medicinal purposes and what he purely wanted to have for the aesthetic of body art itself.
Or for some other reason, right? Mm. So one of the things that's happening with these new tattoos that Renee and her colleagues have identified from Egypt is people are talking about them as the oldest figural tattoos. So they are things that we can recognize. Renee mentioned the sheep and the goats. Utsi's lines are mostly just that, they're lines. They're groups of parallel lines. In some cases, they are small crosses. And they generally line up along the long axis of his body, right? So from his head towards his feet. But then he has these two lines on his wrist that move parallel, or perpendicular, excuse me, to that main axis of his body that run across his wrist. So they don't all line up exactly. I would submit that, you know, just because we don't recognize what these things mean doesn't say that they weren't significant to Utsi and to the people who lived in his culture. You know, we as archaeologists have to be very careful not to impose our modern viewpoints on the past. And just because we don't recognize what a symbol may represent doesn't mean that it did not represent or was not significant to the people that put it on their bodies.
How did you get so interested, involved in understanding archaeology through the lens of tattoos?
Well, so my job here in Tennessee, I work with the Tennessee Division of Archaeology. And so primarily I work on ancient Native American sites in Tennessee. We have something like 26,000 recorded archaeological sites in the state of Tennessee, and a huge percentage of those are ancient Native American. And in looking at these sites, there's this really fantastic ethnographic and historical record from the East Coast of the United States, where as soon as the first European explorers show up on our shores, one of the first things they record about the Native American groups they encounter is that they were permanently marking their bodies, is that they were tattooing. Now, they didn't, of course, have the word tattoo yet. That's introduced later after the voyages of Captain Cook into the Pacific. But they record that people are permanently scarring or cutting or piercing their bodies and inserting carbon and inserting soot into those wounds. So you have this long history of Native American tattooing. And what I realized in talking with my colleagues was that while you have evidence of that history, that virtually none of us had identified tattoo tools in the archaeological record. And so we recognized that there was this disconnect between what we knew people were doing in the past and the artifacts that we were identifying. Mm. And as an archaeologist, this really bothered me, right? Because our goal is to understand how people lived and how they thought and who they were in the past. And here we were missing this entire class of artifacts that were apparently very widespread in the past. And so this begs the question of why were we missing them? Is it because we didn't know to look for them? Is it because they were biodegradable materials that might not survive in the archaeological record? Or was it some combination thereof? And so this sort of set me on this path of first in Native North America and then more broadly across the globe, looking at the archaeological evidence to try to reassess what tools people may have used to tattoo in the past.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Aaron Dieterwolf. He's a prehistoric archaeologist at the Tennessee Division of Archaeology. He was a lead author on a paper that confirmed that the European ice mummy known as Utsi has the world's oldest tattoos. He's also co-editor of Ancient Ink, The Archaeology of Tattooing. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you have tattoos? Why do you have them? Why do you think humans tattoo themselves and practice other body modifications? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Mike now, joining us with a question from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I just had an oddball question. They find these people frozen in ice from hundreds and thousands of years ago. with well-preserved DNA, do they run the DNA for ancestry to see how many living members of their family are around or close to?
Great question, Mike.
Yeah, so this is increasingly a thing that can be done. Of course, you know, sequencing the entire genome is very expensive, but that is something that is happening now. I believe that at least one of the DNA ancestry services that's offered now will, as perhaps as an add-on, actually provide you with which mummy you are most closely related to, because they have those entire DNA sequences. And so in the case of an individual like Utsi, yeah, we have his total mitochondrial lineage. So we know, you know, he belonged to haplogroup K in the mitochondrial DNA lineage. We don't think he has any surviving relatives in his maternal line. On his Y chromosome lineage, we know that his ancestors arrived in Europe from the Middle East about 8,000 years ago or so. And there's some discussion as to whether there are still living members of his Y chromosome lineage. Now, these are not necessarily direct descendants, but they're people related to him in this broader DNA history.
How have we misinterpreted tattoos over time? Because now that we've been studying these, archaeologists know they've been around for a very long time. Have you been thrown some curveballs?
Well, so it's been an interesting process, right? So looking back at Egypt and these new tattoos that Renee and her colleagues just discovered, the first tattooed remains were identified in Egypt back in, I think, the 1890s or early 1900s. So for a long time, we've known that there was tattooing in the ancient world. But along the way, I think this just kind of got overlooked. I think that in the academic world, that tattooing suffered from the same sort of stigma that it did in popular culture, where it was sort of looked down upon by 20th century scholars and, you know, those in academia. And this is not just in anthropology and archaeology, right? I think this also happens in art history and history and a number of other disciplines. So while the evidence has been there, I think people just weren't as concerned with it. And a great example of this is when you go to a museum. In museums, you'll often see these reconstructions of ancient life, you know, life-size paintings of people performing daily tasks. And rarely, if ever, are their bodies decorated with tattooing or body painting or scarification. And these are practices we know were taking place. They're just something that was sort of whitewashed out of the public historical record. And that's really starting to change now. Today, when you go to museums, you're much more likely to see these reconstructions of ancient body art on ancient humans, but also even then on constructions of Neanderthals. You're starting to see inclusion of body paint, for example, on those dioramas in the paintings.
Let's go to Don now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Don.
How are you today?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Well, I have tattoos. I have a chest piece. I got a back piece. I'm working on a sleeve right now. The reason I get them, every tattoo I have is part of my life story. I don't go into a tattoo parlor and look on the wall and say, yeah, I want that one. Just have one. I know it's forever. I'm not afraid of what people think or say. I would appreciate it more if people would ask me about them instead of looking at me. You know what I mean?
Don, thank you so much. It's part of Don's life story to have tattoos. Aaron, what do you make of that through an archaeological lens?
Well, that's exactly right. So with ancient people, these marks tell their life stories as well. Now, one of the important things that we know about tattooing in indigenous and historical cultures, and we think also in the ancient world, is that, like Don was saying, these are not marks that people individually selected. It's not like they were walking into an ancient Egyptian tattoo parlor and picking a Barbary sheep off the wall, right? For the most part, these are things that were earned or were conveyed onto that person by the society in which they lived. So when you have, for example, the woman that Renee was talking about, this new find of the world's oldest tattooed woman, she probably earned those marks by virtue of her role as a healer or as a shaman in that society. This was not something that she did when she turned 16 and wanted to rebel against her parents, right? These marks historically are much more deeply rooted in the fabric of society. And in fact, there are examples from historic tattooing societies here in North America where people would artificially get these marks. They would have them falsely put on when they had not earned them, and groups would then forcibly remove those marks from them because it was so important that it be done correctly in the correct ritual setting and that they have earned them in the proper manner, that they were considered a big problem if someone got them on their bodies illegally or, falsely.
Are they in areas of the body that have remained consistent over time? Are these markings in places that you basically find them again and again?
It varies from culture to culture. Pretty much the whole body is open for business. You see this throughout the world. Here in Native North America, we see a lot of continuity in, for example, chin markings on women between cultures and across time. But in other parts of the world, that's not the case. Whatever the culture is, depending on how they convey these marks onto people, they do tend to stick with certain areas. So for example, certain cultures around the world, men may earn their tattoos through rites of passage and through success on the battlefield. And as they achieve these different war honors, their tattoos will become larger and more complex. And oftentimes those types of tattoos are located on the bodies, the sort of the chest pieces and the back pieces Don was talking about. And in part that may be a functional purpose, right? It's because you have a lot of space to work with. You have a lot of space to build up this story of their feats, of their accomplishments.
Let's go to Chris now in Oshkosh. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, I had an idea about tattoos kind of like as an originating concept. So like most inventions, most things are kind of like, well, I got the idea from this kind of thing, and I assume that maybe that would be the same way even in like ancient civilizations and stuff. And I was wondering maybe if there was something that an ancient civilization might have looked onto to get the idea, original idea, to put something that was like a tattoo onto your body, and what might have been the original ideas and purposes even before tattoos kind of got into something bigger, like representing a clan or a symbol or some type like that.
Yeah, what was the inspiration in the first place, Aaron?
That is a great question, and that is unfortunately lost to the sands of time. The origin of tattooing is this ongoing concern for those of us that are studying it. There's sort of two different theories of this. The first is tattooing something that's impossibly ancient, that originates with the first humans or maybe even before, and then diffuses across the world as those people migrate out of Africa and spread out through the entire globe? Or is this something more like the invention of ceramics, for example, where different cultures independently invent it at different times in different places? And right now we can't quite nail that down.
Go ahead. Aaron Dieter Wolf is with us for this conversation. He's a prehistoric archaeologist at the Tennessee Division of Archaeology, specializing in tattoos. You can join in with your questions about tattoos at 800-642-1234. Do you think the reason for tattoos is the same today as it was thousands of years ago? Why did you get a tattoo? Tell us about the significance of yours. Call in, tweet us at WPR Morning. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. The British Museum has had a pair of mummies in its collection for decades, but upon further inspection recently, a team of researchers discovered tattoo art on the mummy's arms. The tattooing process, researchers think, isn't too far off of what we do today, using a needle to insert a carbon-based element, probably soot, they did, under the skin. The findings were published this month in the Journal of Archaeological Science. We're tracing the history of this art here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning. Aaron Dieter Wolf stays with us. He's a prehistoric archaeologist at the Tennessee Division of Archaeology under the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. He's co-editor of Ancient Ink, The Archaeology of Tattooing. You can ask a question at 800-642-1234. Why do you think humans tattoo themselves and practice other body modifications? What questions do you have about prehistoric tattoos? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Tona now, who joins us from Bayfield. Hi, Tona.
Good morning, Kate and Aaron. I have a comment about after World War One. In the Adriatic, there was about seven countries that were put together as Yugoslavia. And a lot of women lost their husbands and were then able to move about, you know, within these seven countries, you know, because there were no borders. But they were the women that were mostly from the Catholic countries. And then they could go down, and there were some Muslim, maybe basically Muslim countries that were also included in Yugoslavia. And they would tattoo on their arms and their children's arms, like little laurel leaves and these crosses that look more like stars, because they didn't really want them to look like crosses, because they were Catholic. And they wanted to be identified in case they died in one of these Muslim countries as Catholic, so they could have Catholic burials. So they would tattoo these on their arms and their children's arms. So I'm just wondering if a lot, some of these markings could be certainly like tribal or to identify them with a certain people.
Tona, thank you so much for this contribution. Aaron, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. That's a really good observation. These marks in the ancient world and more broadly in the historic and indigenous world, they had multi-layers of symbolism, right? So a mark may convey a certain thing, like a feat accomplished in battle, or it may convey that a woman was old enough to marry or had given birth. But then the specific style of the mark was also unique to that individual's culture in which they lived. So whether to the broader culture or more specifically to a tribe or even to a particular lineage. And so these things function on a couple of different levels. They conveyed information about the person's life and the things that they had done, but then also showed who they belonged to, who their people were.
Tona, thanks so much for the call. Sherry on Facebook says, done well, tattoos can be an expression of a person's joy or sadness. They can be an expression of the tattoo artist's talent. Any tattoo artist will get really excited if you ask them to create art for you and not just tattoo a design that you walk in with. They are art, just art that you get to walk around in. So judging from this perception that we see tattoos today as art, going back through time in ancient civilizations, when did they start seeing tattoos as art?
That's a really good question, and that is really hard to parse out. We think generally that the idea of tattoos viewed as art or as fine art is something that may be more specific to Western cultures. We have this particular history with the tattoo where along the way it became sort of culturally unanchored, where people were able to get whatever tattoo they wanted and where you were able to have full-time professional tattoo artists. And that's really the key word, right? Artists, people who this was their profession and this is the thing that they do on a day-to-day basis. Going back further in history, the people that were tattooing were, we believe, usually members of a group who were particularly gifted in this one particular skill set. They may have been doing it as part of shamanic practices. They may have been an older woman particularly, or a person who held significance in the society. And so they were not full-time artists. What they were doing was anchored in their own cultural traditions, and they weren't working to develop a style or to build this artistic practice like we think of tattooists doing today. So it's sort of a different thing in that regard.
Do you have any tattoos?
I have a couple of them, yes. Yeah, that's actually been one of the fun things recently, and I think is in part due to what we know about the history of tattooing today, is that there's been this rise, of course, in American society in the number of people that are tattooed. I believe estimates are up to 40% or so of millennials at this point have at least one tattoo. But we see this reflected in academia as well. The people who are studying tattoos now and the history of tattooing across many different disciplines, across art history and anthropology and archaeology and others, are themselves oftentimes tattooed. And I think this brings new perspectives to the discussion.
New credence. Yeah, let's go to Leah joining us from Wild Grove. Good morning, Leah.
Hi. I was just calling to say I have three tattoos. Two of them are memorial tattoos. One of them is, I've had it for a year now. I lost both of my parents in the last 5 years, and they loved cardinals. And so I have two cardinals, and then I have my dad's handwriting. He and my mother were married for 60 years, and every card he ever signed to her, he always signed the same exact way. And so I have that signature in his handwriting, and I have it wrapping around my wrist.
Leah, thank you so much for sharing that. Memorial tattoos. Aaron, when did those come on the horizon?
Well, that's also something that we see, particularly in the ethnographic literature. I'm most familiar with the stuff here in Native North America, and there's definitely funerary tattoos and mourning tattoos that are being applied in the Arctic and subarctic regions, as well as in the American Southwest. We have records of people being tattooed at times of loss and times of death.
What makes us as a species want to alter our bodies, not just temporarily, but forever?
That is a great question. Body decoration is one of those things that for a long time now, archaeologists and anthropologists have used the desire to decorate the body as sort of a proxy for when humans became modern humans, right? For when we developed this symbolic library of thought and creativity and perhaps even language. And so traditions of body decoration go back almost as far as Homo sapiens sapiens, as our species, back into the Middle Stone Age in Africa. People are finding now finds of things like crushed ochre pigments used to decorate the body and drilled shell beads at Middle Stone Age sites going back 170,000 years before present or so. And this is just one of the things that people do, right? Every human society decorates its body. It is something that is so hardwired into us that it is literally as old as our species. And I think looking at this anthropologically, there's this tradition in humanity of sort of go big or go home, right? If you think about body decoration in our own society, whether it's, tanning, whether it's the way we wear our clothes, whether it's the jewelry we put on our body, decorating our nails, there's this sort of historical trend that bigger or more expensive, basically more is more significant. The more it costs, the more it takes, the more effort that is put in, that is reflected to those around us who see these decorations. And so we're sort of manifesting this value. Right, we're showing people that we can afford the designer clothes, or that we have taken the time to put these fingernails on ourselves, or we have taken the time to exercise and tone and buff our bodies. And so this is all about how we present ourselves to others in our society. Go ahead.
Let's go to Mark and squeeze in a call from Two Rivers. Mark, go ahead.
Yes, I had a question. You were talking about how the prejudices of academia prevented them from seeing the tattoos as being significant. My question is, what other prejudices are out there that are preventing academia or have prevented academia from seeing these ancient cultures in a new light or a more accurate light?
Well, that's a really excellent point. As academics and particularly as anthropologists, we try to divorce ourselves from those biases, right? Anthropology is this study of cultures that are not our own. And so it's very important to separate yourself from your own cultural biases and prejudice in order to evaluate these things that you're finding, these people that you're studying independently. That was not always the case. Really, archaeology, anthropology over the last 50 years or so have worked very hard and come a very long way in incorporating the viewpoint of the people that we're studying and actually reaching out to those people and looking at them in terms that would be meaningful to the people that live in that society. When you look at this in the history of tattooing, I think a great example of this is when you find things like sharp bone tools in the archaeological record. Well, for a century now, archaeologists have pulled these things out of the ground and said, oh, they are needles for making clothes, or they're awls for piercing hide, because we look at them and that's what they appear to be to us on an obvious functional perspective. But for someone who lived in that culture, or for an indigenous person alive today, that item may be something completely different that has been overlooked by scholars. And so I think this idea of, you know, broadness and inclusivity and diversity in these fields is really important to overcoming those hurdles.
Aaron, as we wrap up here, where does this research go from here now that we have this knowledge base going so far back on tattoos? What is the next step to learning?
Well, I think one of the big things that's going to happen is going back and looking at older collections. Renee was talking earlier in the show about how they're now using her camera and going and looking at mummies in existing collections. This is something we're starting to work with on the perspective of tools as well, going back and looking at things that have been previously identified as awls or bodkins and trying to figure out if they might be something different. To give you an idea, I was taking some notes earlier as Renee was talking. Prior to the year 2000, there had been about 18 tattooed mummies that had been discovered in Egypt. Now, since that time, there have been 12 more. And Renee just told us this morning about 10 additional ones that she has found in the last year or two. So that, I think, is a really great perspective on how quickly this thing is now evolving with this new information and these new technologies to work with.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Aaron Dieter Wolf is a prehistoric archaeologist at the Tennessee Division of Archaeology under the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. He's lead author of a paper that confirmed that the European ice mummy known as Ötzi was had the world's oldest tattoos. Earlier, we had talked with Renee Friedman, an Oxford University professor. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Nyasia Ellison. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer.